I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
Awake, awake, O earth, thy many voices raise, and let the echoing hymns repeat the note of praise. Let all the earth rejoice, let sea sing up the strain. Christ from the dead hath come, he lives again. He lives, Christ lives, he lives again, our risen Lord today. Christ from the dead.
Thank you, choir, for that wonderful song of triumph. Christ from the dead has come. He lives. He lives again. And thank you for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. And on today's broadcast, we'll focus on the reality of the resurrection. As we do that, let the quartet minister to you with their song. Then came the morning.
They all walked away with nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this is the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so long? Then came the morning, night turned into the stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won. For morning had come. The angel, the star, the
kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she'd watched him die too, she'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning, night turned into day, the stone was rolled away, hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning, shadows vanished before the sun, death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come.
Has your night turned today? Have you experienced the reality of the resurrection in your life? If not, you can, and there'd be no better time than today, especially as we commemorate these events that changed the course of human history. You can experience your own personal spiritual resurrection from death to life, and it can happen deep in your heart.
Great was the change when Jesus came in, down in my heart, deep in my heart, banished my sorrow and burden of sin. Wonderful change in my heart, down deep in my heart.
Yes, Jesus can change you deep in your heart. He can fulfill the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And you will know when you've been touched by the hand of the Lord.
Let me stand on the hills and the mountains that were built by the hand of the Lord. Let the winds that even bear take my voice everywhere with the truth of the Lord's own word. For I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. Where he said,
I was lost with no hope, but he found me. I was blind, but he caused me to see. And I had no soul at all till he reached into my soul,
and the touch of his hand set me free. Oh, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. Where he sends, I will go, for I know, yes, I know, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. I've been touched by the hand of the Lord.
I've been touched by the
hand of the Lord. Where he sends, I will go, for I know, yes, I know, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord.
I hope that's your testimony. Now I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching from the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 28. It's titled, The Reality of the Resurrection. The Bible tells us that God had a plan before the foundation of the world to bring us hope and peace. And so at the right time, he sent his son Jesus into the world. We also know that Jesus lived a holy life as a man. And then he died on the cross, shedding his blood for our salvation. You know, in that way, God can now forgive our sins, because God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means there's no forgiveness of sin. So when Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our sins, now God can forgive us when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus. Believing in Jesus means that we acknowledge his sacrifice is the only acceptable payment for our sin, and then we confess that truth publicly. In that process, we become a new creation in Christ. No, we don't get a new physical body, but we are reborn in our spirit. Our old human nature that was controlled by sin is exchanged for a new nature. It's really the nature of God. Through his Holy Spirit living in us, our soul and spirit are transformed into his likeness. That changes the way we think, and it changes the way we live. After Jesus died on the cross, he was buried by Joseph of Arimathea in the tomb that Joseph had prepared for himself just outside the city of Jerusalem. It was a tomb that was hewn out of solid rock. And there, with the help from his friend Nicodemus, they buried the body of Jesus according to the customs of their time. But we know Jesus arose from the dead 3 days later, and now he is alive. There's no doubt about it. No one else has risen from the dead like Jesus did. The Gospels record that when Jesus was living here among men, he did raise several people from the dead. But nobody arose like Jesus did, because he arose from the grave by his own power. He had this to say to his followers one time, "My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And that's just what he did. The resurrection of Jesus is a fact of history. We can read about it, we can study it. We can even go to Israel and see the empty tomb. Those that lived in Jesus' time knew it was true. They had no doubt or question about it. They knew that he rose from the dead. And yet ever since that event, people have tried to spread doubts about the resurrection of Jesus. The reality of the resurrection is the foundation of our saving faith. And the Bible records Jesus' resurrection just like it happened in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 1 through 10. I hope you can follow along in your Bible as I read this portion of Scripture. That's Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was as white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers shook and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." In this account, written by Matthew, we see the unmistakable evidences of the reality of the resurrection. The open tomb is the physical evidence of the reality of Christ's resurrection. Notice with me how it all came about. Our text says there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down and rolled away the stone. If we would go back to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 60, it tells us there that when Joseph of Arimathea put the body of Jesus into the tomb, he rolled a large stone across the opening of that tomb. And then Pilate sent his officers and soldiers to seal that tomb and to set a strict watch. Anyone who tampered with that official government seal would be severely punished. But I believe God used the earthquake to break that seal. And what that did was it showed how powerless men are in the face of God's power. So now there's an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord comes down, and he rolls that stone away. The tomb is open. And by the way, the tomb wasn't opened so Jesus could get out. The tomb was opened so that everyone could look in and see that it was empty. Notice how the Bible describes the angel. His face or his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. There were guards standing there. They were keeping watch over the tomb. But when they saw the angel, they were seized with fear, and the text says they became like dead men. In other words, they were paralyzed by their fear. They were overcome by it. I guess so. I think you and I would have been too. So the first evidence of the reality of the resurrection is the open tomb. Physical evidence to the women who came and to those who came after them. The tomb was opened by the act of the angel, and when the angel came down, there was a great earthquake. There's another evidence. The angel's message was the audible evidence that Jesus' resurrection is real. Listen to what the angel said to the women. "I know who you are looking for." He said, "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." There's no question about why the women had come to the tomb. They had come to see Jesus. They had come to find his body. They wanted to make sure that he had a proper burial. They wanted to see that his body was treated with the proper respect. So try to imagine their surprise when the angel said, "He's not here. Jesus is not here. He is risen, just like he said." Even the elders and the chief priests, when they came to Pilate, knew that Jesus had said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." Now the angel is bearing witness to that. He said, "Come and see where he lay. He is risen, as he said. You can see where he was, but he's not here anymore." So all the things that they had brought with them for his proper burial were now useless. They didn't need them anymore. Then the angel said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." The angel's message is the second evidence of the reality of the resurrection. Now some angels, evil angels, angels that serve Satan, they lie. But the angels from heaven, God's messengers never lie. The Bible tells us that this was an angel of the Lord that descended from heaven. So what that angel said was true. The second evidence, then, is the angel's message, and it was an audible evidence. There's one final evidence yet. The Savior's greeting was joyful evidence of the reality of his resurrection. So after these women had heard the words of the angel, it says they went away quickly. They immediately left the tomb with fear and great joy. They were going to go tell the disciples what they had learned. And on their way to tell the disciples this good news, Jesus personally met them and greeted them. He greeted them in the Greek language, charita. Translated into English, it can mean rejoice, hail, or wonderful. He greeted them, and they worshiped him. The Bible tells us they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They knew it was Jesus. How did they know that? They may have known it as much from his voice as from his physical appearance. I'm not sure. But they knew it was Jesus, and so it's no wonder that they held on to him. In their minds, they had lost him once. They had watched him die on the cross. They surely didn't want to lose him again. The Savior's greeting must have been a joyous moment for these women. And then he said something else to them. Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. You know, isn't it interesting that the angel appeared to the women first and not to the 11 disciples? The Savior's greeting is evidence of the reality of the resurrection. These women saw him. They touched him. They held him by the feet. They heard him speak, and they worshiped him. Now that is strong evidence. This was not a dream, and Jesus was not a ghost. The Savior was there in his resurrected body, and he greeted them personally. You know, these evidences should settle for you and me the reality of the resurrection. The open tomb, the angel's message, and the Savior's greeting. Jesus is alive. Praise God.
Christ who left his home in glory and upon the cross was slain, now is risen, go tell the story that the Savior lives again. Hail to the King, the mighty Redeemer, tell him who robbed us grave of its power.
Thank you, choir. Isn't that an awesome truth? Jesus' resurrection has robbed the grave of its power. For the follower of Jesus, there's no more fear of death. And so let's tell every nation that all is well, because, as the choir sang, Jesus lives forevermore. Were you blessed by today's program? If so, praise God. And if you have questions about what you heard, or if you'd like a copy of it, just write to us. We'd be happy to send to you a printed or digital copy of this teaching when you ask for it by the title, The Reality of the Resurrection. The easiest way to contact us is through our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or just pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Use this information to request a print or digital copy of today's teaching, The Reality of the Resurrection. To review today's teaching or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. And if you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. And of course, you can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for The Voice of Hope, and until we meet again, find your place of rest and fellowship in Jesus.
Ship divine.